Patty Considine is here. He is the writer and director of Tyrannosaur. This is one wildly powerful, emotional movie. Where the heck did you get this idea to get these characters just letting it all out like this?
I don't know. Good question. I guess, you know, I think the film is, from the point of view of, to start with the writing, I think that it was just me pouring out a lot of the, I don't know, a lot of things that I was trying to make sense of about my life, about the environment that I grew up in, and my sort of fascination with human beings. And, you know, I don't know, it's just, I think the film had to be made. I think it did just sort of seem like it sort of spewed out when I wrote it, and I suppose I'm just trying to make sense of a lot of things.
Did this come out all at once, or was this something that was brewing in the back of your mind? Because just the development of the characters and the development of the story for a first-time feature-length film is very, very, very well thought out.
Yeah, I wrote the film in about a week, and I can't really describe it. It just came out, you know, and I think if I learned anything from writing, it was just to be truthful to these characters, and they'll sort of tell you if you're... What I didn't want to do was just go down the conventional route of filmmaking. And I know that Tyrannosaur has very classic themes in it, but I think if you start to write a script and give yourself, you know, restrictions, I think you've had it. I just sort of wrote it and didn't look back, didn't edit as I wrote, and it all just came out. And I think any expression, sort of, if it's gut instinct and it's something that needs to be sort of almost exercised from you, it will. You know, thinking about it's the last thing that you want to do. So I think a lot of the themes in it, a lot of the feelings were just coming from my subconscious, if you like, and you know, and they manifested in this story about these two people from different sides of the community that are both dealing with pain in their own way, and their own fears and their own sort of monsters, if you like.
Yeah.
And it's about really how it's a love story and how these people become soulmates and how they sort of have a sort of redemption at the end of the film for both of them, really.
But getting to that love story or getting to that redemptive moment is... there's a lot of stuff that we have to take in right from the start, the violence and the seething anger of Joseph, played exquisitely by Peter Mullen. And then, as you said, the other side, which is also the other emotional side, Hannah, Olivia Colman, these two disparate characters. And it is a classical thing, you know, theme, two kind of different characters, different emotional states, finding a common ground and getting on somewhere else. But just going through some of the stuff that we go through is, you know, it's not extraordinarily unbelievable, but it's just, oh my gosh, how can we deal with these people?
Yeah, I think definitely that the film is dealing with the idea that how far can people be pushed. And in Hannah's case, I think she's just being forced to be something that she doesn't want to be. Mm-hmm. You know, she's a pretty selfless character, and she's being forced into a situation where she has to fight back against her instincts. Whereas Joseph's a character who's trying not to fight back because of his instincts.
Because as soon as he can,
his anger is manifested to the point where it's becoming quite mindlessly destructive. In that he kills his dog, and I think that horrible act is the beginning of his
transformation.
Absolutely. You know, he begins to sort of open up from that point onwards and tries to listen more to his soul, even though he doesn't realize that that's what he's listening to. But I think, you know, I think with characters like this and with a lot of films, I think you have to earn their moments, you know, that they have to earn their place with the audience.
You have to empathize.
Definitely.
And feel what they feel. That's the thing. And I think you do that very well. but there are also a couple of secondary characters. Eddie Marsan as Hannah's husband. Very creepy. Very creepy. You know something is not right there.
Yeah, well, he's the total opposite of Joseph, who will display his anger. He's actually far more emotional. And will display his anger openly, publicly. You know, smash down a shed in broad daylight because he can't articulate the death of his friend. Whereas the James character will wait, and he'll close the door, and all his stuff is you know, he presents one thing to the world and then closes the door. And I think that's a far more dangerous beast to have to live with. You know, there's something oddly noble about Joseph's pain. Or at least really openly truthful. He is like an open wound. Mm-hmm. Whereas with the James character, it's far more buried and far more malevolent, you know. And I think the victory of the film is that towards the end, Olivia has a line where she says to him, "I feel safe with you."
Yeah.
And I think if you believe that, or at least have some understanding of what she means, then I think
he doesn't even believe that.
No, not at all.
Safe with me.
Yeah, he does, yeah. He says, "Nobody's safe with me."
Yeah.
And he means that because he knows where he's capable of going or where he's gone in the past.
Exactly. There's also the little boy, Sam.
Yeah.
And this is the interplay between Joseph and Sam. You see there's something good about Joseph, even though he always denies it. Yeah. Just the way that he deals with the little boy, that's also a very... And also some of the movie's funniest moments, too.
Yeah, I think Joseph finds it quite easy to articulate to the kid and empathize with him. And I think that you know, Samuel sees Joseph as a father figure, having father not being around, and he doesn't have a great sort of replacement.
No.
And I think Joseph at this time of the story is trying to listen to his soul, if you like, you know, that higher part of him that's saying, I won't get involved. So when he sees the kid getting bullied and ragged, and what he's seeing is somebody who's very, very pure, who's about to be misshapen by the environment that he's in.
Yeah.
That's certainly why Samuel's circumstances were written that way, because this little kid is an intuitive little kid, and he's an artistic kid, but this environment is going to destroy him and rag him down. Yes, exactly. And I think he can see that transformation happening. But he's at a point in his life where he does not want to get involved, where he's trying to listen to himself and not. But every time something good happens to Joseph and he starts to open up with Hannah, it's like the street is always, the violence is always calling him back. And then at the end of the film, of course, when the events happen and he didn't listen to the more animalistic side of his instincts, I think that's when he has a sort of total mental breakdown, really, because the confusion is that if he begins to love, it all sort of caves in and it's too vulnerable, you know.
We've seen you in a lot of movies, some small roles. Seen you in The Bourne Ultimatum, in America, where you had a major role with Samantha Morton. Also Cinderella Man. You've been in a bunch of things. This is your first feature-length film. And where do you see yourself going? Because I know you've got a few films in the works. Do you see yourself making more movies that you want to make or movies that you're going to be in?
I think the dream scenario is I make movies that I want to make, and I only act in the things that I really want to act in, you know. In recent years, I've tried my hand at other things. I've tried to, try to sort of see if there was a bit of range there in terms of different genres and things, and I just think I've come to a realization that nobody really cares. I think I should just stick to what I'm good at, you know. And I can only hope to, you know, look, nobody sets out to make a bad film. Nobody says, "I've got £10 million, let's make a load of rubbish." I believe that even if they're making some naff action movie that's straight to DVD, they don't think they're making that. They're making
it's
a great
the greatest
film,
thing ever, yeah.
You know. And I think there's a lot of pressure on some actors to deliver a certain standard or whatever. And you know, it doesn't exist. It doesn't exist all the time. It doesn't for me anyway.
Yeah.
You know, in some jobs I've taken, it's either been take that job or don't work for 10 months. And while I sit there and wait for this great role to come through the door and don't work for years waiting for that role, guess what? You know, you just disappear. Mm-hmm. So, But I've learned a lot from it, and I think that, you know, if I can direct my own work, which I will direct my own work, if I can just sort of be a part of the films that I really want to be a part of, you know, as opposed to just trying my hand at something, you know, and making a few quid, I just like that balance, really.
Well, I really look forward to seeing more of your own work.
Thank you.
Paddy Considine, writer and director of Tyrannosaur. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Cheers. Thank you.